Chapter 2 Rice Farming 101 I jolted awake to Big D's furious battle cry and the angry snarling of a fox. I had my shovel in my hand and was out the door as fast as I could. It was an extremely pleasant night. The stars formed ribbons of light that shone brightly, uninterrupted by any light pollution. But I had no time to admire the view. Big D was flapping around the fox's head, kicking at it furiously. His spurs, the little blades of bone roosters have on the back of their legs, struck and slashed. He was too small for them to deal any real damage, but he was trying his little heart out. I was transfixed for a moment as David challenged Goliath. They were two streaks of color in the night. The other chickens were cowering and clucking nervously, watching the battle unfold. With a burst of speed, the fox managed to hit him with its paw and knocked him down and away. Big D's footing was fouled. His fate was sealed. The fox pounced, its razor-sharp teeth going for the kill, trying to end my little warrior. Oh, you dare trespass into this daddy's domain? I couldn't believe I just thought that. I really was going native using that turn of phrase. I snorted to myself. The fox's teeth clamped down on iron instead of flesh, and it looked up, shocked at the shovel I had put between it and Big D. It was then the fox realized it fucked up. It turned and tried to run. My shovel whirled, and with a clang, the fox died. I looked back to my little warrior. He had managed to get to his feet and was glaring hatefully at the fox's corpse. I gave him a once-over, and he was fine, as were my girls. Just a fright. I didn't blame the fox. It was their nature to hunt. I hoped he didn't blame me for braining him with a shovel in retaliation. I also hope he forgives me for selling his fur, because I'm totally going to do that. I think you can eat fox. You can, in fact, eat fox. I just wouldn't recommend it. Tasted like ass. I forced myself to swallow the grilled meat. It was a measly, dry offering, as predators don't tend to have much fat. The gaminess was really off-putting, too. Food wasn't scarce at the moment, but that was no excuse to waste any. I had to take what I could get, and what I'd gotten was a fox. I reserved the right to complain, though. I grunted as I moved a pot full of dirt to its proper position, then got things ready for the second part of rice planting. Growing rice properly involves a bit more than just chucking your seed into the ground and hoping for the best. I had witnessed the farmers' techniques from the village, and they were a bit lacking, or at least lacking by modern standards. They seemed to be able to feed themselves just fine. For example, the first thing you do before planting is soak the rice in a 1-to-16 ratio of salted water. Rice seeds with the greatest amount of endosperm, those with the best chance of a yield, will sink to the bottom of your barrel. Filling the barrels was pretty easy, they barely weighed a thing to me, but the salt was a bit trickier. It wasn't as expensive as I'd thought it would be, which I was thankful for. The lighter rice will then float to the top and is easily skimmed out. Those I would pound a bit more and eat, getting off the husks and boiling them for brown rice. Then, after soaking, you plant the desirable seeds in wide buckets for the first part of their life as they sprout. That was what I was doing at the moment. Then, finally, you transplant them to your patties. I always found it rather strange that rice does better when you rip it out of the soil and stuff it somewhere else instead of leaving it be. The funny thing is that I'd learned most of this from reading manga. Thanks, Shizuko. I had no shame cheating by using techniques from the 1860s when the technology level was mid to pre-thousands level, like all true isekai heroes. Except some of the technology stuff wouldn't really work. Guns would be pretty much useless against cultivators and spirit beasts, and I had no desire to conquer the world. Eh, rice is more important than that stuff anyways. But enough about that. I examined the buckets one more time and then turned to the patties, walking over to continue working on them. The patties themselves were underway, carved into the side of one of the hills in a terraced style. It would be fed by one of the small rivers when it finally came time to flood them. Want me to be honest about something? The reason it was done like this is because that hill had the fewest rocks I needed to clear. Some of the damn things were twice my height. Even if I could get them out of the way, mindlessly crushing rocks got boring after a while. Cultivator's strength and endurance always did turn tasks that should have taken months or years into a matter of days, but sometimes I had a sneaking suspicion that my Zen modes lasted for longer than I thought they did. I was always super hungry when they stopped, and occasionally Big D gave me the gimlet eye when I got back home. Cultivation be whack, yo. I finished examining the terrace wall for any potential defects. It looked pretty good, but just in case, I pushed some more of my chi into it, lending my spirit to help reinforce the wall and strengthen the grass's roots to keep everything steady. The masters at the sects would probably have an aneurysm about how much chi I was wasting, but I didn't see it as a waste. It was a resource. If you got it, use it. Besides, it didn't take that long for it to come back. At the start of the next day, I was usually feeling fresh as a daisy. Maybe if I was a better cultivator or had more extensive reserves, it might have taken longer to recover, but I didn't know, and quite honestly, I didn't care. Yawning, I wandered back to my little house. Big D greeted me with his signature screech. You tell him, Big D. I scratched his head affectionately. His defeat hadn't made him skittish, so that was good. He was still a little ball of piss and vinegar. My lowly spiritual herbs were growing in their buckets beside my sprouting rice. The spirit herbs needed chi to grow properly, and I figured, why not just infuse the rice with chi too? It couldn't be any harm. I had also replanted the strange root I'd found. I couldn't just run off to a local archive, so this was the only way I had to store it. It had some chi to it, so it got a dousing too. I carefully infused my spirit into the water. I then picked up my watering can and got to work, with Big D sitting on my shoulder, occasionally hopping off to snap up a bug that dared try to assault the vulnerable shoots. Good boy. More spirit greens for you after dinner. So things went. I had to brain a few more foxes and a starving-looking wolf, but otherwise, things were mostly peaceful. Day after day, I worked. A little house rose. My bed got just a bit more comfortable. Rocks were ground down into gravel, and a tangled forest gave way to cleared land. It was like watching a movie in fast forward. Those half-primitive technology videos and my own farm boy upbringing helped a bit, but I wasn't really a normal human. I could start a fire in a single twist of a dowel and hew entire trees down in two swings of an axe. So I worked. I let myself go and learned to love the routine. Learned to love the land as I pushed more and more of my chi into the soil, reinforcing and nurturing it. It was a careful act, because too much chi could cause things to explode, but the land drank it all in without complaint. Chop the wood, break the rocks, plant crops, nurture soil with chi, eat food, sleep. Months passed by. I awoke to each new day with a smile, feeling whole and happy. The great master had given him the name Bidi. He knew not what it meant, but he knew the name was his. He knew it was powerful. But he was not. Not yet. Awareness was a fickle thing. It came and it went. But he knew during those times. He thought. And he was elevated above those who were beneath him. His senses were refined to better alert the great master to interlopers during the night, those of red fur and sharp teeth. But every time he failed in something he knew was his duty, like defending the females, he felt great shame. His great master nurtured him without reservation, treating him like a favored son, and not the shameful thing he was. He was weak. He had to grow in strength and fulfill his destiny. He rode upon the great master's shoulder while his lord infused their food with his very essence and struck from above upon the base creatures that dared to sup off his energy. He stood the night watch while the great master slept. He guarded the coops while the great master completed his great wonders, commanding the land and taming the forest. He watched as the great master moved in the morning, his body flowing with tremendous skill. It was the same set of movements every morning before he started his work. And so Bidi sought to improve himself. He ran through the great master's lands. He jumped over the hills and onto the giant branches of trees. He shoved his body against the great pots of growth until he could finally move them. And now he stood upon the great pillars of Faram, another name with an unquestionably sublime meaning and gave it his all to imitate the great master, to achieve some pale imitation of his wondrous skill. His body soared through the air, his legs lashed out with strength unknown to his lesser kin. He danced as the great master danced. He drew breath as the great master drew breath. Something swirled around him, within him. I smiled at Big D as he hopped and kicked along my fence. Cute little guy.